Well, good morning.
Good morning.
To all our regular attenders and our guests, if you see somebody new in the congregation, by all means, make every effort to greet them. It's been said that the best way to introduce a sermon is to tell a joke that has nothing to do with the sermon. Well, I'm not much of a joke teller, and I don't have a joke prepared, so we're going to dive right into our text. And I've titled this sermon, Lighting the Way to 2018. I've picked a passage from the Old Testament, one of my favorite prophetic passages about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our coming King. So would you please turn into the Old Testament, turn back to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5 and spending some special time on verse 2. But please turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and read verses 1 through 5 with me. Then a shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Will you pray with me briefly? Lord, we come to you today in humble expectation of what you're going to speak to us through your word. We are dependent upon you. We are aware of that. We are cognizant of that. We need you. We need to hear your voice. And I pray, Lord, that each of us will hear your voice today, and that the words that I speak will somehow be your words, and that they will touch our lives and help us move forward into 2018 as we seek your face and seek your will and seek to live in a way that brings glory and honor to your name. For we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Christ springs forward. He springs forth as a descendant of Jesse, as a descendant of Jesse and the great King David. We are reminded of the great covenant that God made with David, promising him a dynasty, a line of kings. And that line was interrupted about 600 years ago with Zedekiah, the last king of Israel, as the Jews were taken off into captivity. And that throne, that dynasty was empty until the first century with the coming of Christ. He is that shoot that sprang forth from the stem of Jesse. It is a branch. He is a branch that will bear fruit. He will prosper and bring benefits to us today, subjects of his spiritual kingdom. And when we come to verse 2, it reads, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And there are six qualities of a leader, six virtues, six character qualities that represent strength that will transform your life and the lives of those around you. We're going to camp on verse 2 for a few minutes. But think back to the month of September, the month of December, as it draws to a close. There is a holiday that the Jewish people celebrate every December called the Feast of Hanukkah, a celebration of the rededication of the temple in 157 BC. And there's a special candelabra that they will use in every Jewish home. They will have a candelabra with 9 candles. The one in the center is called the Shamas. That's the servant. And each of those 8 days, you take that servant candle and you light each of the other 8 candles. Today, well, I picture this as a menorah, as a candelabra with 7 candles. Jesus himself is the servant, and we are going to light each of the 6 candles, each of these 6 virtues in verse 2, starting with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom, the ability to make sound judgments. Shrewdness. And oh, how we need wisdom today. And as I thought about this quality, I thought about Abraham Lincoln. So we think of him as our greatest president, but he only served one term. He was a one-term president. But all that he accomplished during those 4 years, he kept our country together intact as one nation. He abolished slavery once and for all in this country. Can you imagine the wisdom that was required to accomplish that? He had next to no formal education, self-taught. My father always used to say to me, David, use your head for something besides a hat rack. And this was a man who was determined to use his brain to make the most of his life. Wisdom has nothing to do with your IQ. It has nothing to do with your education or how much alphabet soup you have after your name. Wisdom is available to everyone who will seek it. It comes from God. The second candle is understanding. Wisdom and understanding are joined at the hip. Wisdom, understanding is about insight. It is about perception. Why do people behave the way they do? I can't get along with that person. What's going on in their heart? What makes that person tick? When you start to ask questions like that, you are beginning to gain understanding. Again, with Abraham Lincoln, this was a man who knew something about human nature. Now, I advise all of you to take a trip to Springfield, Illinois. Visit the Lincoln Museum. And you know what you see there? You see displayed on the walls some of the most bitter, some of the most caustic, some of the most disrespectful and vile editorial cartoons you could ever possibly imagine. Abraham Lincoln was hated by many people. But he had understanding into human nature. He knew that the office of President of the United States was a powerful, powerful position. Even in a young country, a young and growing country, he knew that there would always be people who would hate the president no matter who he was. And so he did not allow that to affect him, to affect his judgment. Or you're driving home one night. You're driving home through, perhaps home from church. You're driving home through along a street through a area where there are woods. You know that there are deer in those woods. And when the deer is standing in the road and sees headlights, he'll be blinded and freeze. That's understanding. Wisdom says, I better slow down. But the next two candles are counsel and strength. Counsel is about planning. It's about strategizing, looking down the road. Everybody needs to strategize. Government leaders strategize and plan when they formulate new laws and develop policies. Generals take counsel when they fight a war. Young people need to take counsel when you look down the road and you ask yourself, what am I going to do with my life? Do I need an education? What do I want to accomplish? Parents need to take counsel when they raise their children. You need to plan. A strategy will help you get to where you want to go. Counsel is necessary. But where do you want to go? What's your objective? Because if you don't know where you're going, any road will do. But to carry out a plan, we need to light the fourth candle, and that is strength. The Hebrew word for strength in this verse is the strength, the power of the sun, the power of a warrior prepared for battle, and the strength of God Almighty himself. We need power to live a life that pleases God, power to recognize temptation and to flee from it, power to love, power to raise our children, power to shape me and to shape you into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you look back? Can you look back at 2017 and ask yourself, what have I learned through the experiences God has put you through, the experiences God has put our church through? Are you gaining insight? Are you gaining understanding? And how will that plan your strategy? How will that help you take counsel for the year ahead? And the fifth candle is knowledge. Knowledge, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And this knowledge at the end of verse 2 is a personal knowledge. And the personal knowledge of God is life, is eternal life itself. John 17:3, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." The knowledge of God is eternal life itself, the life that God promises us. Do you want to know what life is all about? Know Jesus and you will know life. And I can hardly recommend to you a book by J.I. Packer, Knowing God. And Packer writes in this book, "Once you have become aware that the main business that you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into their place by their own accord." If you begin to study the Word of God, but know God, get to know the God revealed in this book, and you will see the problems in your life from a much different perspective. God reveals himself to those who seek him. And knowing God is more than knowing a friend, and what a friend we have in Jesus, of course, and more than knowing him as Savior, which of course he is, and the only one who can save us. But it is inseparable from the fear of the Lord. To fear God means that we honor him, means that we stand in awe. We're amazed of his greatness. We're amazed at his glory, but it is more than that. It involves a twinge, a sense, an element of genuine fear. The fear of God is a healthy respect for God. Healthy because you know what's good for you. And if you know what's good for you, you will have a healthy respect for God. Like the feeling of a little boy towards his father, love, affection, trust. But if nothing else, because of the sheer size of his father, there's also a healthy respect, at least a little bit of fear, knowing that my big, loving father may chasten me if I do the wrong thing. Or think of the Grand Canyon, some 270 miles long, 18 miles wide, and a mile deep. How beautiful is the Grand Canyon? Words pictures cannot do it justice. It is so beautiful that it lifts you up to the highest heavens. But be careful about getting too close to the edge, because it is a long ways down to the bottom. So who is this God with whom we have to do? Is God, you know, there are actually people that teach that there's a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. Some people insist on that God in the Old Testament was a God of vengeance and wrath. But now somehow suddenly God has become a God of love and peace and mercy. Is that the God that we know throughout the pages of this Bible? I don't think so. God hasn't changed. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. And Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who has authority to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now I'm going to ask you a very basic question. Have you come to that place in your life where you know that you're a sinner and only Jesus Christ can save you? Have you realized, do you know that your good deeds are nothing more than filthy rags? And only the blood of Christ can wash away your sins? I hope so. I know that. I hope you know that, and I hope you're convinced in your mind that your salvation is secure and a place in heaven is waiting for you. But I hope. My prayer for you and for me is that we can learn to fear him who has the power and authority to destroy both body and soul in hell. And could it be that the reason that we are often so lax, so casual sometimes about our discipleship, if we don't really fear God as we ought to? But we're not done yet. Verse 3 says, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Jesus Christ delighted in the fear of the Lord. Hebrews 5, 7-9, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Even Jesus learned to fear and to obey God. He rejoiced in the fear of God. And so in verse 4, we read that in his coming kingdom, there will be universal justice, universal and perfect social justice, justice for the oppressed, and justice also for the oppressor. Because in verse 5, Jesus Christ will be a perfectly just and reliable ruler, and that day cannot come too soon for me. So, how does this impact our lives this morning, New Year's Eve 2017, looking down the road to the year ahead? I focused on each of these six candles, six virtues in verse 2. Do a self-assessment. Where are you strong? Are you wise? I praise God for that. Nurture that. Are you strong? But if you're a little bit weak, that's something for you to work on. God is there to help you, to give you his strength, to strengthen you in each of those qualities. Number 2, each of us has the potential to lead. Verse 2 describes Jesus, the ideal, the perfect messianic king. But each of us, no matter what your station is in life, no matter what ministry you have in this church, and I hope you have a ministry, I pray that you have a ministry, develop those qualities, shine your light into those around you, bloom where you're planted, and brighten the corner where you are. 3, pray for the leaders. of this church. Your staff, Pastor Matt, your elders, your deacons, we are painfully aware that we cannot accomplish anything worthwhile for TKK Baptist Church apart from God. We need your prayers. Join us in prayer. And number four, we live today in a world filled with injustice, filled with violence, turmoil. And sometimes when my wife and I watch the evening news, we tell ourselves we're going to watch the evening nightly horror show. But remember, it won't always stay that way. Read Isaiah chapter 11. Read the last three chapters of the book of Revelation. And remember, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word to us today. I pray that these six candles will light our lives, that we can shine your light into the life of others, that we will not hide our lives away, hide our lights away in a closet, but we will brighten the corner and bloom wherever you have planted us, Lord, to light the world around us, to shed your blessings abroad. For we have prayed, I have closed, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.